Influencers is brought to you by
7Cs. Start your day the right way. Soya Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. ACG Wholesale, with quality service and great prices. The Beauty Barn, hair and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real Time Sound Studios. And Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And on this radio show, we take you into the world of leaders within Bahamian society and the global community to give you insight on how they use their influence to bring about positive change. We provide this platform for influencers to inspire our listeners with their personal stories on how they maneuver and strategize to still be impactful and influential even in this new normal environment post-COVID-19. It is our hope that the stories and insight of the influencers we bring to you will inspire you to use the power of your influence to bring transformational change to your immediate environment, Bahamian society, and for some, even across international divides. And today, we take you into the world of a great Bahamian woman who has become a champion as a voice for the marginalized and as an advocate for more representation of women in parliament. She is a history maker, serving 4 consecutive terms in parliament, second only to the noted Janet Bostwick. She has served as national chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, the PLP, being the first woman in Bahamian history to serve in that capacity of a national political party. She's proven herself to be a formidable force in the House of Assembly. She's a nationalist, a parliamentarian, an activist, a mother, and a voice for positive change. Today, we welcome influencer Glenys Hannah Martin, Member of Parliament for the constituency of Eggleston, as we discuss issues impacting the forward advancement and further development of the Bahamas. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. Influencers, influencers. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way. 7Cs.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of 7Cs cod liver oil. 7Cs cod liver oil is a rich natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with 7Cs cod liver oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with 7Cs.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices. Welcome back to Influencers. I'm your host, Lady Shima, and with me today is Member of Parliament for Eggleston, Glenys Hannah Martin, for part one of a two-part series. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shima, and I want to commend you. I'm just hearing the objectives of this show. That's wonderful, really wonderful.
Thank you so very much. I really do appreciate it, and thank you for obliging my invitation. And the start of the show, I would just like to start off on a soft personal side, the softer personal side of Glenys Hannah Martin. And of course, I would like to give listeners a peek window into the personal side of your story. And of course, we know that you are the daughter of the esteemed A.D. Hannah Sr. and Beryl Hannah. But talk to us very briefly about someone who has had a tremendous influence upon the woman you are today. What or who has influenced your personal ethics and core values?
Well, you know, it's only in latter years I began to focus on this. And really, I focused a lot on my father because he was the political personality, and I sort of hung on to his coattail and followed him all over, listened to his speeches, utterly inspired by his messaging.
Yes.
But then I started to think about it with my mother. My mother was a great progressive. And mm-hmm. I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, one uh-huh. of the first books she gave me uh-huh. was the book on the suffragette, Emmeline Pankhurst.
Oh, wow.
So she began to plant very early.
Yes. She was instilling that in.
She was instilling it. And, you know, in fact, yes. when I was invited to get involved objectively in the political process, not with my father, mm-hmm. I told him no. Mm-hmm. And it was my mother mm-hmm. who said, do it. Mm-hmm. And I respected and loved her.
Oh,
and
wow.
trusted her advice, and I did it.
Who actually approached you? Who actually approached you and said, would you be in frontline yeah. politics? We believe that you have what it takes.
It wasn't quite like that, but it mm-hmm. was the then leader of the Progressive Liberal Party. He became okay. Prime Minister twice, Perry Christie.
Yes.
And he asked me to consider offering myself for leadership of women in the PLP. And I told him no, because I wasn't interested. My whole focus was on my father's campaign. Because
oh, wow. Okay.
I was completely enthralled and invested in what he was doing.
Yes.
And so I told him, no, thank you, I really appreciate it, but I don't want to do it. So I went downstairs from my law office and I told my mother, I said, guess what Perry Christie just been in here saying?
Oh, wow.
I'm expecting her to support me in my,
yeah.
she said, do it.
Wow.
And I was stopped in my tracks, and the rest is history.
And the rest is history. Yeah. You know, it sounds like destiny was just beckoning you. It sounds like that's what was happening.
I believe God's hand is in all things.
Of course.
And so, yes. you know, I think that was his hand sending me in a different direction mm-hmm. in my life.
And rightly so. And that's a perfect segue into what I want to talk about next. You know, I was listening into a virtual conference, if you will, by Sewell, the Caribbean Institute for Women in Leadership. And I heard one or two mm-hmm. of the things that you said that really got my attention. You made reference to some data that mm-hmm. You pulled from the IPU Proline Global data source. And you spoke about the suffragettes. You spoke about the suffrage movement. And you said that you believe that that movement is incomplete.
Yes.
Half of yes. the world's population are women.
Yes.
And yet, when you look all around the world, only a quarter mm-hmm. of all parliamentarians mm-hmm. are women, mm-hmm. even though we represent mm-hmm. half of the human population.
Human population. But mm-hmm. if you look at just the spectrum, the issues that women face across the board, mm-hmm. it tells you that even in the global sense, mm-hmm. There's so much to be done. You know, just if you only start with the way women are perceived, and you know, it really irks me a lot because yeah. you know, when you're in the company of some people and you know that they see women in a particular way, mm-hmm. particularly when they're your equal in that
yes.
environment,
yes.
but you know they don't see you that way, mm-hmm. It's very disturbing. But I try to be patient because I think it's the product of mm-hmm. years of inculcation
yes.
and culturalization mm-hmm. and
you know
mm-hmm. the patriarchal system mm-hmm. that has fixed brains in a way. Even women sometimes have this issue.
Yes.
They see women in particular ways mm-hmm. and not as dynamic beings.
That's
who
right.
bring capacities in all range of spheres.
Mm-hmm. And that is so unfortunate. You know, you believe that chauvinism and misogyny has anything to do with it? No, seriously,
I think so. I think there is the culturalization, and then
yes.
there is just that, which is the other thing. And I think, yes, there is that.
Yeah, because there you laughed, that. But I find that there seems to be a little bit too much of that represented in Bahamian society and thinking and culture. And I'm very glad that you mentioned that, and we do need to move away from that, you know, as a people. But that said, though, you said something else that really, you know, I love quotations, mm-hmm. and you give good quotes. Something else you said that you believe that the peculiar insights and contributions of women, mm-hmm. you described it as the rhythm and melody of human development. Mm-hmm. What did
you
mean?
You know, when we say men and women are equal, mm-hmm. we're not saying that we're the same mm-hmm. or even that we have the same abilities. Women are unique creatures. Men mm-hmm. are unique creatures. Women are nurturers. Women carry children.
Yes.
Women head households. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is all of these innate or instinctual
yes,
things
yes.
that makes a woman, that brings a perception, that brings the instincts, mm-hmm. that brings the passions for mm-hmm. certain things. And so that is what I meant. And, you know, I was just reading, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg just died. Mm-hmm. And she said something I thought was
what
really
a powerful
interesting.
Woman.
Powerful
yes,
woman.
Yes.
Little short, 5 foot woman,
yes.
you know, Jewish lady. But she said, you know, she said that there will be equality.
Yes.
When men and women equally participate in the shaping of a new generation.
Wow. That's and, a powerful
and,
statement.
It's very powerful. Very powerful. And I think that, but that explains that, you know, you have to have all hands on deck, men and women.
Of course.
And when you exclude women, you have carved out an incredible opportunity for a unique and powerful involvement.
Yes.
That all benefit from.
Of course.
When women, you know, they say women are emotional. Well, you know, I've seen some emotional men in House Assembly, but we ain't going to the other day. But sometimes emotion is good. I was telling you during the break.
Yes.
I saw that father.
Yes.
Who lost his child.
Right.
7-year-old.
The 7-year-old.
And he got emotional.
Raised. Yes.
Me too.
Very.
Me too. I was.
It's
it was
hard
2 o'clock
to hold your
morning.
Tears watching.
I cried.
Yes. And over
emotion,
7 years
empathy,
old.
Man. Empathy is critical in, in human affairs.
Yes.
So, you know, if women bring that in excess, let's get it, because we need some of that.
Yeah. And that's probably what's missing. That's probably why we're seeing what it is that we're seeing.
Oh, my God.
In Bahamian society today.
Oh, Lord.
So, as opposed to it representing a deficit, is possibly a bit more of what we need as it relates to the solutions that we're looking for.
Agreed.
With that said, now, of course, persons are looking at the data that's being represented, and it's all around the world. There are these surveys being done, and it's being shown that as it relates to the handling and the management of COVID-19, that countries that are being led by women are doing significantly a much better job by and large than their counterparts. What do you have to say about that now? You know, because this is some evidence to what it is that you were just saying.
Well, it's a very interesting fact.
Some support.
It's a very interesting fact.
Yes, it is.
And, you know,
New Zealand means there's some other
You see it.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And, you know, you look even in Barbados,
right?
Mia Motley.
Yes.
I see now Jamaica's doing this with their prime minister. But Mia Motley, about 3-4 months ago, she created like a field hospital away from the main hospital.
Yes.
She even put in place dialysis machines so that people who got COVID, who need dialysis, that it's a self-contained area.
Okay, yes.
So you don't have that intermingling and whatever. And a very rational way of separating COVID positive patients and sick people in general. So you see it even in Barbados. You know, I don't know why it is. I haven't been able to scrutinize exactly what made these individuals have such a sound common sense approach.
Yes.
That was able to do that. But you know, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. She had an incident there where a gunman killed a lot of people. And that night she said, "We're gonna have gun reform."
Oh, wow.
And guess what? They had gun reform. You know, they've been talking about that in America for 50 years.
Yes.
They had gun reform
still
because
ongoing.
She pledged. She pledged that ain't happening no more in New Zealand.
That's exactly why I'm saying it's probably that same emotional element of a woman that is being negatively spoken of.
Yes.
That's actually the solution that we need right now.
And you know, I think that's important what you say, you know, it's negatively spoken about. But like you say, it has very positive impact.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and with that said, now I think that that is a beautiful transition into this next point. Looking at the way that the country is ran, I was talking to my youngest sister the other day, and she said to tell you hello, as a matter of fact. She's one of your biggest fans.
Oh, thank you.
And
I know all the poetic fans.
Yes, and she was talking about the benefits she believes that would be incurred if we were to become a republic as opposed to being a democratic state. Then announced by the Governor General of Barbados, Dame Sandra Mason, that they're going to be becoming a republic, right, in November of 2021, effectively moving Her Majesty the Queen as the head of state for their 55th anniversary. And she said something very interesting. The Dame Mason, she declared that it was time for Barbados to leave the past behind. I want to ask you this. Do you believe that the political structure and functionality of a republic would better facilitate the forward advancement and development of the Bahamas?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so because, you know, I'm one of those, I always speak about this and people get uncomfortable, you know, but truthfully, the vast majority of our people, we're all mixed up, but the vast majority find their roots primarily across the Middle Passage. The Middle Passage was that those vessels that came that packed people in like sardines in the hold, which were, and a lot of people died. They were thrown overboard like nothing, and they died in those conditions, from dysentery and all of that. Those who survived, and which just speaks volumes about the resilience of the African, and made it to shore in America and throughout the region, the Caribbean, all these rocks and keys, then went into a second horror. Which was the system of slavery, where their language, their whole identity was ripped from them. families were not encouraged, and even their diet, you know, research is being done now. It's called epigenetics, mm-hmm. where they are seeing that the black people's predisposition to certain diseases, mm-hmm. it's traced as far back as then to the dietary habits. Yes, wow. And you know, it was things like the guts mm-hmm. and things
and
like that.
And of course, it's passed from generation to generation.
It becomes epigenetics.
Exactly.
It's environmental, but it becomes subsumed into your genetics.
It's personal culture.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, but it becomes genetic, so it's passed on. And then you went through that experience, and then, mm-hmm. of course, you have these, which was, no one can say it was easy, okay? Slavery, it's mm-hmm. horrible.
Of course.
It was inhumane and barbaric. Mm-hmm. And then you go through the political uprisings that led to Burma Road, and then you had the Black Tuesday, mm-hmm. and then you had 1967, mm-hmm. where for the first time, people of color governed and made decisions for the majority of the people. It's now a public holiday. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at that entire experience, and this is the point Mia Motley makes, because and she talks about it in the context of discrimination.
Yes.
She said she does not support discrimination in any form, mm-hmm. because you look at the fact that black people were so horribly discriminated against mm-hmm. in their humanity. Mm-hmm. So when you go through the colonial experience, and you know that's how Britain came in, and our educational system, the way we see ourselves, and then you look at the Queen, who heads the Commonwealth, but
yes.
at the time we were a colony owned by Britain, and then eventually became independent, but part of this structure.
Yes.
It tells you that in this journey, I call it the redemption journey. Mm-hmm. You know, Bob Marley had
that's powerful.
Song. Yeah, Bob Marley, I just understood that song, you know.
Yes.
He says, all I ever had was redemption songs.
Oh, wow.
And his songs are about uplifting.
Yes.
And empowering.
Yes.
And encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
The Africans.
That's right.
And who live, especially us in this region. Mm-hmm. And he said, all I ever had was redemption songs. And even that, he said, get up, stand up. I mean,
your rights.
But all of these are redemption songs.
Yes.
Buffalo Soldier.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know the history of the Buffalo Soldier.
That's why he's referred to as a political.
He was a prophet almost.
Yes, yes.
You know, but
yes.
In that regard. But and so I look at it as a redemptive reality. Mm-hmm. And for us, mm-hmm. I think there has to be a break with
yes.
that, because that is
wow.
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You break from that. The other part of it is, and not everyone agrees with it. I have colleagues who's getting in stink arguments about it.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
The statues of alien exploiters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You know, I think that, you know, when you look at the heroes of our nation,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where are the representations of them? They're few mm-hmm. and far between.
Right.
But those of the colonizers
mm-hmm.
or the oppressors,
yes,
they're larger than life. I mean, mm-hmm. Christopher Columbus is mostly about 20 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
He looms over us as a people.
Isn't that amazing?
And Queen Victoria
mm-hmm.
looms over our sovereign parliament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that if we want to keep it for history reasons, no problem. But certain places they should not be positioned.
Mm-hmm.
Not the place of our head of state.
Agreed.
And not with our parliament.
Agreed.
And I think that all of these things send psychic messages
mm-hmm.
to us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
We should uphold who we celebrate. Yeah.
Subconsciously, it's training our psychology
yes.
as a people.
Yes, I think
and it's
so.
Impacting the types of decisions that we make
so.
And the way that we see the world. Our
yes.
ideologies, you know, and I believe that that is a perfect segue into talking now even about the orange economy, because of course, you know, the orange economy, it also has to do with the artist, those mm-hmm. persons who mm-hmm. like a Bob Marley. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have our own great artist here
mm-hmm.
in the Bahamas, the late Ronnie Butler, and I can go on and on.
On and on.
And what about their support, though? What about them being supported financially? What about systems, policies, regulations, support systems being put in place for not just their survival, but also their thriving?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just spoke to their importance to the building, the further development and advancement of a society.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the example that you gave with Bob Marley just now, I can hear his words in my head, emancipate yourself from mental mm-hmm. slavery. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts as it relates to this? And I'm speaking to you as a PLP
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
when I'm asking you this question. What is it that the PLP is going to do for our artists?
Let me say this to you. Let me tell you what I believe in, and I think I'm a real PLP.
Mm-hmm.
The orange economy that you've segmented in that way,
mm-hmm.
I would express it this way.
Mm-hmm.
The human being is physicality
mm-hmm.
and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And then and you have something, the soul, whatever, those intangibles.
Yes.
This orange economy is about the intangible.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It is
That's good.
Absolutely, it is who we are.
Yes, the soul of the nation.
It is what moves us
mm.
forward.
It's
what brings us out of the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
It is
mm-hmm.
what perpetuates us into a bright future.
Yes.
And I'm not speaking in cliches. I'm very serious about this. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing about our country is that we have not seemed to have had an understanding of the incredible importance of those who participate in that aspect of who we are as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of it, I mean,
it's telling.
This ain't scientific, but I can tell you, you know, it is a huge deficiency in our development as humans and as a people, as a people culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of support, the lack of even understanding the meaning of it.
Yes.
The non-celebration of it and uplifting and perpetuation and preservation of it. Speaks volumes.
It speaks volumes. And do you know that there is scientific data to back up what you just said? And it's amazing how you refer to the term intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so very true. Because when you can have within a Bahamian society a 7-year-old boy just out playing, being his young self, and then all of a sudden his life is ended, a bullet into his body. His mother never would have imagined. His father never would have imagined. Definitely he would have never imagined. Now we have a mother and a father burying a 7-year-old child. And that is when you have sick souls walking about a society.
You're talking it.
And therein lies the importance of the orange economy and what it is that they bring. You see, because we tend to just look at cents and dollars, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to look at, you know, the $1.2 or $1.3 billion fall off as a result of COVID, as a result of Dorian, et cetera, et cetera. And these are all important things. But we also need to look at the mental health, the mental psychology of a nation, you know, from time immemorial, you know, from one administration, from the FNM to the PLP, from the PLP to the FNM, there's always been this constant cry of the artist, of the orange economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to ask you what's forthcoming now from the PLP as it relates to them?
I know from my point of view,
and what
I've thought about this.
That's going to happen for them.
I feel very strongly about it. And I looked at what Cuba does.
Okay.
And Cuba, you know, Cuba is very culturally rich. So is Jamaica.
Yes,
and Jamaica has also done a lot of things to preserve and to develop their cultural identity.
Mm-hmm.
We have not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a performing a center for the performing arts. We have the old Shirley Street Theater being sitting there abandoned from that time.
Right.
The National School of Dance is a marginal thing that someone is trying to keep alive, but it's not truly a national school of dance.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And Junkanoo has been seen in a one-dimensional way.
Mm-hmm.
And other forms, rake and scrape and all of that, has not really been enshrined, taught, perpetuated in the way in which it should. And I think that, you know, there are many ways, but I think one of the ways is that we need to teach our rhythms to our children in music classes. I don't know if they're doing it. I've not heard that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Teach our rhythms
in
music class, that we are able to identify art forms and to pass them on to in a educational way.
Our own art forms that presently exist.
I mean purposefully through education.
Yes.
And then which is one thing, that's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But also you have people who are more specialized.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be further development of people who are more specialized in the art.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those, unfortunately. And then you have to find a way to integrate these expressions into every single aspect of our lives, in the hotels, in the airport, in on spaces, vacant spaces, and also providing performances that people want to come to. Just have a mass, sustained celebration.
Yes. You know, because of who we are, and that is so very important that we are constantly reminded of who we are as a people, and that's part and parcel of their function, you know, within the development and the motivation of us as a people. And you're reminding me so much right now of a conversation I had almost a year ago when I first started Influencers with the great Fred Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying a lot of what it is that you are saying right now. And he was like, you know, Lady Shame, I'm just tired of hearing it. It's just, you know, it's the same thing from one government to the next. Who is really, really going to make the change? And we are now, you know, dealing with millennials and dealing with the Z generation, you know, they are now, they have a voice, mm-hmm. and they speak very powerfully through the means of social media mm-hmm. and using the latest contemporary technologies. And we're going to have to speak to their needs. We're going to have to speak to what it is that they're demanding as the new Bahamian, mm-hmm. the enlightened Bahamian, the informed Bahamian, you know. And so we can no longer do politics as of yes, like we did in yesteryear. We need to speak that to the Bahamas that we are today and the Bahamas that we are becoming, mm-hmm. you know, in this era. And with that said, let's talk a bit about crime. And the reason why I want to talk a bit about crime right now is because of a relationship I just drew a couple minutes ago. And that is, I believe that we're seeing the kind of crime that we're seeing now in Bahamian society as a result of a lot of sick souls being out there as a result of financial hardship, as a result of, you know, fathers missing from the home. And I believe that there is a turning around of this. And I believe that there has been some positive impact from COVID-19 as it relates to family togetherness and support and persons having to be locked down for such a long time. Of course, you know, it has the positive and the negative side, but I've been hearing lots of positive. But as it relates to crime now, crime has been a serious issue for administration to administration from time immemorial. And now we're still having the same types of circumstances as it relates to crime. And so what kinds of changes, specific, detailed changes, let's just say that the PLP is brought in for 2022, what are you all going to do as a government to bring crime into subjection?
Let me just say this, right? And I posted about this on my Facebook page. I think that the violence in this country is so alarming and so distressing and so disappointing. And it's so widespread in so many different fashions. And then there's the homicides, which is the ultimate form of violence. But, you know, you see the videos. It's every little minute, neighbors this and the next thing on the streets.
It's so sad.
I saw two jitney drivers. I mean,
so sad.
You know, it's like a state of rage and anger and whatever it is. But it is symptomatic of a sick nation. And I don't care, you know, I don't care if anyone tells me. I am not accepting that any level is acceptable to say that, well, you know, we only have this. I don't. Because when you see the number of killings we've had, you said that after COVID that, you know, people were locked down, the numbers went down, but you still had plenty of killings. And people did in the day. And now, like you say, relaxing, you see an escalation, and it's horrible.
Yes.
This is a signal to us as a people that something is wrong.
Very wrong.
And it's not just you need more police, you need more guns, you need more body cams. I mean, I support all body cams. You need more police cars. You need more patrols. All those things are fine. But you can only keep a lid on a simmering pot for so long. There's a simmering in this country.
Yes.
And the question is, what is it? Now, you said a lot of hurt souls, and you've alluded to a couple of things. I think one of the main issues is people are living in circumstances and conditions where life is a dead end. A dead end. And,
of
you
course,
know, when I grew
misery
up...
misery index is very high.
When I was growing up, I knew I was going to have opportunity. I knew I was going to go off to school. I knew all of that. So I always had a propulsion forward.
Yes. You had hope.
You had hope.
Yeah.
But when you ain't got no job.
Exactly.
And when you can't pay your rent and the landlord hassling
you. Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
When you are struggling with the basics, when your whole school experience has not really, you know, whatever, you know, it's the state of that person is not the fullness of what one would expect. And you know, and then you look on top of that, you look at the contradictions in our society. You look at the fact that we have one set of rules for one group.
Of course.
Mostly, and that group usually are those with the wealth, small minority group.
Yes.
And some connected political individuals.
More well aware.
And then you have, you know, you have people at the bottom, and they will tell you that a lot of them, you know, and I think, you know, the police almost adopt this attitude that is where the problem is in this country, and that is where they should concentrate, and some say harass. But we lack equity in this country. We lack progressive policies.
That is so very true.
We have not been able to meet, to deal with the issue of poverty in our country. And it's gotten worse in COVID-19.
Yes.
And the level of suffering is unimaginable. It is miserable, the word you use.
Mm-hmm.
And people are living in drudgery. I can't find the word.
Yes.
It's terrible. And so, however, though, and this is the intangible, they still get up every morning
mm-hmm.
and hoping that something could happen.
I call it the indomitable yeah. spirit of the Bahamian.
Yeah.
Because we really are a people of hope. We are a people
yes.
of faith.
Yes.
And just even culturally speaking, mm-hmm. you know, generally speaking, we believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And we may pray in different ways. We may worship him in different ways. But generally speaking, by and large, we believe that there is a God.
Yes.
And he gives us hope and mm-hmm. faith every mm-hmm. day to make it to another mm-hmm. day. And I believe that that's a big part of what's been keeping us as a people.
You're right. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is corruption.
Mm-hmm.
That is another, I think, a contributing factor.
It's a major contributing factor.
What's happening in this country. And I will point to this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't manufacture guns,
mm-hmm.
but guns are coming. And listen, I saw some videos. I can't believe we have guns like that in this country. For
wow.
what? For
wow.
what?
Mm-hmm.
These are guns you see used mm-hmm. in wartime mm-hmm. in other people's countries.
Obviously, somebody is benefiting from that
yes,
industry.
Someone's benefiting, and why can't we get to the root cause of it?
Uh-huh.
There's so many, you know, and I don't know all the root causes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You gave some reasons. I gave some reasons. But mm-hmm. The point I'm making is
yes.
you have to get to the root causes and mm-hmm. eradicate these
yes.
impulses that are so atrocious.
Yes.
As exemplified in that seven-year-old shot in his neck.
Yeah.
A seven-year-old child.
My goodness.
You know, if that doesn't tell you.
A short time away from his eighth birthday.
Mm-hmm. If that doesn't tell you.
Very sad. Very sad.
That something is wrong.
Very wrong.
Fundamentally
wrong.
And terribly wrong with our country.
That is so very
and
true.
And I say that, Shima, and I don't want no one to mm-hmm. think I'm a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have hope for my country.
Yes.
And I know better could come.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frustrated that mm-hmm. this is what we are dealing with. We are tinkering mm-hmm. with this substandard situation.
Yes. You know, and let's end this first part on that element of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Things are really bad in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
You know, on many fronts, however, we have this hope that things can and will get better in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm.
They must.
As we say.
Mm-hmm.
And they must. Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Soya Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786.
Start your day the right way. Seven Seas.
Start your day the right way. Trust in the timeless tradition of Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil. Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil is a rich, natural source of omega-3, giving you the essential nutrients needed to promote good health and help make sure you're looking and feeling your very best. Whether it's one a day, high strength, or traditional, with Seven Seas Cod Liver Oil, you start your day the right way.
Start your day the right way with Seven Seas.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Influencers. Welcome back to Influencers, and I'm your host, Lady Shima. And with me today is Member of Parliament for Eggleston, the Honorable Glenys Hannah Martin. And we are discussing those issues impacting the forward advancement and further development of the Bahamas. But we ended on the point of hope. We ended on the point of hope.
That was a good place.
That was a very, very good place and point to end, because looking at Bahamian society today, there is this hopelessness, you know, that is growing. There is this despondency level. Have we really seen mm-hmm. this kind of despondency in the Bahamas before? And you made reference to those persons who are waking up every day and dealing with things like, where am I going to find food to eat for my children? Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit to me, Ms. Hannah Martin, about the disparity with the socioeconomics in the Bahamas, especially with you as the MP for mm-hmm. Eggleston. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing, and what can be done to bring the necessary positive change that we need?
You know, I always start like this, right? People mm-hmm. say, you know, look at her constituency, she ain't do nothing. You know, when mm-hmm. you look at...
I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And what do you say to that?
Because it's a scapegoat argument that mm. is causing for us not to be accountable mm-hmm. for our structures. Mm-hmm. Our policies and mm-hmm. the inequity in this country. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with an elected member of parliament. That's to do with successive governments mm-hmm. who have not had the courage mm-hmm. to take on issues. Mm-hmm. But we all know that one of the sure way out of poverty mm-hmm. is education.
Yes.
But you look at our educational
exactly.
System. I mean, children are supposed to be in school by remote. Mm-hmm. No one, ain't no one got no tablet. Mm-hmm. And some ain't got no internet. And I'm talking about thousands of households. Mm-hmm. So what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And the Minister of Education has not spoken to this specific, serious reality. Mm-hmm. When you look at the issue of the minimum wage, mm-hmm. the minimum wage right now in this country, that's not a member of parliament issue. That's mm-hmm. that's a government issue. Mm-hmm. The minimum wage in this country right now is $2.10 or whatever it is. I think
yes.
it's $2.10.
$2.10.
$2.10. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to pay rent. You have to buy food.
It's impossible.
You have to get transportation.
It is impossible.
You need deodorant.
Yes.
You want to buy purified water. Mm-hmm. How's that going to happen? You know, and so you are already mm-hmm. by that low minimum wage. You are castigating someone to a standard that's going to be subpar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to answer you, I think mm-hmm. that we have to, this is what I would recommend, right? I think you begin by looking in communities mm-hmm. and addressing the environment, which includes the infrastructure. There are so many streetlights that are not working on different streets where people are fearful. Mm-hmm. Fix the streetlights. Pave the roads. Ensure that the pumps for people who don't have water, mm-hmm. and so you're saying, well, why are they still going there? Well, they have to go there, so mm-hmm. make sure it's there.
Yes.
People can get water who don't have it in their homes. Then you have to ensure, you ensure the physical reality.
Yes.
Housing. Mm-hmm. We have to put in place basic standards for housing. We are allowing, by law, people to rent housing. Mm-hmm. But no water, mm-hmm. no minimum standards. Mm-hmm. We need legislation put in place, minimum standards for housing so people are not relegated to any old kind of thing because we have slum landlords
right.
who are collecting money right. in the so-called ghetto mm-hmm. and living in the suburbs.
And it's crazy what they're charging for these slums.
They're charging a lot. Mm-hmm. So you look at the minimum wage, mm-hmm. minimum standards for housing. Mm-hmm. You look at the physical environment in which people are living.
Yes.
You look at the education yes. that children are being subject to, and mm-hmm. right now many ain't getting nothing because they don't have any tablets. I've mm-hmm. looked at it; the pricing is just out of whack to meet the need in my constituency. It's mm-hmm. it's thousands, mm-hmm. and many don't have it. One mother told me she has one cell phone mm-hmm. and three children in different grades.
Oh my God!
You know, and how what can you do? And mm-hmm. she doesn't have internet.
She's not going to have access to the education that's being lent.
This is
time.
What's happening. So you look at the educational system mm-hmm. and you make sure it meets the needs of your children. You look at at-risk children.
Yes.
And you make sure that those at-risk children are supported and they don't end up in juvenile and then mm-hmm. on death row. You have to ensure that the social safety net mm-hmm. is responsive.
Yes.
A lot of people are complaining that they're going for help. Mm-hmm. Who probably would not normally go for help, but who need help.
Yes.
And it's, you know, they feel belittled or they feel, you know, it's just psychologically just painful. Mm-hmm. And everything takes long, no response. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not pointing a finger.
Understood.
The system may be overwhelmed, but you mm-hmm. need a social
You're
safety
stating facts.
Net that
yes.
is efficient and responsive.
You know, you've sat on both sides, okay? You're sitting on the side of the opposition now. Mm-hmm. And you've sat on the side of the government.
Yes.
And, you know, it's you fully well know mm-hmm. that it's easy, you know, on the side of the opposition. This isn't right. That isn't right. We need to change this. We need to do that. But how long has the PLP been in power? Would you say with your mm-hmm. conscience intact that the PLP has done everything in its power that it can do to do everything that you just said needs to be done?
Let me put it this way. The Progressive Liberal Party led giant steps for the Bahamian people. Mm-hmm. Because at one time, you couldn't go beyond a grade 6 education or grade 4. Mm-hmm. There was only one high school, public high school. The rest were private high schools. One mm-hmm. public high school in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And so that tells you with how we were viewed, our intellect and our intellectual development. Mm-hmm. You have schools everywhere. Mm-hmm. All over the place, here, there, and everywhere, up and down, around and around. I mean, access to education, now that the quality is what I'm talking about now, mm-hmm. which has become challenging. To answer your question, whether enough has been done, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think enough has been done by any government. Mm-hmm. And this is not something I'm saying in opposition. I represent a constituency, so I know firsthand. I mm-hmm. see it firsthand. Mm-hmm. When we had the recession of 2008,
yes,
the things I dealt with I didn't even know. I spoke later at a church about 10 years later. And when I was recounting it, I got so emotional because like the first time I was releasing it. The people who didn't want to live, the people who couldn't bury loved ones for 3 months and four
months. Suicide is going
on. And on and on and on. Yes. And you know, that was in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And
even today it
so
is.
It's rough now, I know.
Yes.
But I've seen it firsthand. So yes. I have to know what it is and I have to advocate. But I think that, and I was telling someone this last night, we have to have the courage to say that in our policies that we don't have a problem prioritizing them at the bottom. Ain't nothing wrong with that. No, ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay? Because somehow we seem to feel that, you know, I don't understand it. Well, that should be your priority. You shouldn't want to, you can't feel good in your country if you know certain things are happening.
You know, the irony of it is that they are the people who put people like a Glennis Hannah Martin in the house.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, the electorate, we put you in the house. And once you're in the house, like, who are you? Oh, really? Oh, I don't know you. you can't reach me by phone. I'm not going to respond to your email. Oh, I'm not available. You know, I believe that this has even been said to be seen by, you know, some persons within the PLP as well. And I'm not just daunting at the PLP, but I really, with this platform, you know, I'm wanting you to really speak to the changes and the difference that we're going to see in the party. Of course, we know about the historical significance of the PLP as a nation, and we give credence to that. But I'm talking about as of recently in the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. Okay, and what it is that we have seen, and what it is that we have experienced as a people.
I think some things were started. Unfortunately, we did not, National health insurance, you know, we tried the first time, and then the second time, it got to the final stage, and then this administration has abandoned it. But national access to health care is critical. And what we are seeing now, I mean, it's
been abandoned? I thought NHI was still in
well,
in
I
play.
Don't know. I don't know what it is, because if you need a diagnostic test, and most people don't have insurance, and you don't have the money, because you ain't working, and plus we're in COVID. I've seen this first time.
Okay.
You go to health social services, and I was told, the lady, she went there recently, she was in hospital for a week, and she needed a test, and she said they told her that, you know, they weren't able to assist her with that. A lot of people are falling between the cracks. They're not accessing assistance with basic health care issues. And so they may say they have national health insurance, but I don't think the average Bahamian feels that we have national health insurance that causes you, if you are sick and you need to do an MRI or you need to do some other diagnostic test.
So paying for tests and labs.
Tests and labs and
not just a basic visit a general physician.
Well, I don't know what happens with a general physician, but I know I had to raise in Parliament when you go to A&E, they started to charge people. And I raised it. Dwayne Sands at the time was Minister of Health, and he said it's not supposed to happen. Well, I mean, I don't know if it happened and it ain't supposed to happen. You always want to cut corners. You know the problem of healthcare in this country?
Yeah, there are some interesting things happening.
We have been prioritizing private healthcare and making millionaires out of doctors. We did it with Physicians Alliance. We did it with exemptions on equipment for like doctors' hospitals and other places. And you think they would drop the cost for the patient? They don't.
Okay.
They continue to make huge profits. And the public health sector is struggling, and it's upside down, because that should have been the focus of public healthcare. So to answer your question, because I got to answer that on the PLP, I think that things were done. Me personally, I feel that an aggressive agenda that is specific is required.
Okay.
And it includes the mandate to eradicate poverty, to enhance health care, to improve the education of this country, to diversify this economy. These are the things, and it has to be aggressive, and you need people who will execute aggressively.
Okay, now you spoke to it very generally. If I were to give you a mark for how you spoke to it generally, I would give you an A+. Now, of course, especially with this day and time generation, they need specifics. They need to hear plans. They need to hear how is it going to be executed, how is it going to be financed, provided for XYZ. Do you believe that the party, the PLP, that you all have what I just described in place, should you win for 2022?
On a basic level,
we need to have all of these plans, we need to have all of these strategies, we need to...
On a basic level, I think that a PLP government is markedly different from a free national movement.
What's the difference?
Someone asked me, what's the difference? What is the philosophy of the free national movement? What is it? I know what my philosophy is. and I can tell you what it is, and it has been played out in substantial and substantive policy in our nation building. Even in recent times with a Christie administration, this administration, they've been there now. We're in our fourth year, okay? Fourth year, you only got five, and I think they're going before that. What? Tell me, what is their vision for the Bahamian people? I know they had some emergencies, like the hurricane and the
major emergencies,
and the pandemic, and we had hurricanes too that were major that destroyed the entire southern Bahamas, and Matthew damaged significantly in New Providence, which never really happened in our recent memory. So we've all had these interruptions or detours. But what is there? What have from the day one before all of these things? What has been their fundamental vision for our people? There's none. There's none. And the one thing you will know with the Progressive Liberal Party, even the worst kind of Progressive Liberal Party, it'll sit around a cabinet table. I'm just saying, even the worst. You'll sit around a cabinet table and you'll know your obligation is to the people. You know that. You know that. Well, you know it ain't to the man or the people who owns the economy and who is the elite in your nation or whatever it is. You know that certain things you have to do and certain things you cannot do. You know, for example, you can't sell citizenship. And a lot of countries in the region have done that. And I think this administration would love to do it. But we know we cannot do that. We cannot sell citizenship.
Why are you saying that you believe that this administration would love to do it? What is it that you've seen or heard that makes you believe that?
I sort of heard some things from, not specifically like that, but it's sort of alluding to it, from the then Minister of Immigration and Financial Services, which is Brent Simonet. And you look at even now work permits. They changed the law called the Commercial Enterprises Act. So you can now, a foreigner can now come in. It doesn't matter if there's a Bahamian who can fill the role.
The position.
Position. You know, before you had to do that. This is in certain areas of endeavors.
Okay.
Spas and things like that. And they say the Bahamians don't do it. Yeah, spas.
Excuse
spas,
me?
Yes, it includes spas.
Bahamians specialize in
yes,
that.
Yes, we do. But that you can, they can come in and they can get work permits almost automatically. It's basically automatically. And this is how they, this is now our labor, this is how they changed it. So it's just listening and seeing the ideological shift, you know. And so, you know, I think that I think that there is a world of a difference. And that does not to say that we are not, we have not been imperfect in many respects. And I'm the biggest critic, and I was sitting around the table, and I feel it. But I know,
yes,
fundamentally, where the focus will be in national development. And it will be people. It'll be, it's just the reality of it.
Okay, you say fundamentally for the PLP, the focus and the priority is that of the Bahamian people. The advancement of the Bahamian people, the forward progressive movement of the Bahamian people.
Right.
Pun intended, progressive movement of the Bahamian people. And so you were beat by a landslide last election because the Bahamian electorate thought that we are not first and foremost on your mind.
Well, you
what
know,
do you say to those people who are getting ready to go to the ballot again?
Well, you know, I don't, you know, the analysis of last election is, I think the PLP must accept responsibility on many fronts. But I could tell you.
Amazing.
I know I could tell you this, though. When you look, when you tick off what was done. It was probably the most highly intense, highly performing government this country has seen in a very, very, very long time.
And yet you lost by a landslide?
Yes, we lost by a landslide. And I could tell you the kinds of things I think contributed to that, which I found in my constituency. You look, for example, the deals that are struck with foreign investors, with hotels. More and more the worker is getting pushed further and further down. I found that people said to me, they were disappointed that we did not fight for them more in terms of their economic reality in this country.
Yes.
A lot of these things you inherit, but I mean, you still got to fight. And I think that people felt that way, you know. And I think what characterized the last election, one, and I'm accepting that there were issues on our part, but I think what characterized the last election was a political party, Free National Movement, that was prepared to tell every single lie in the book.
Wow.
Every single lie. I mean, they lied and they lied. They lied with the promises. And then they said, we teefed of that. And then after they
I remember that.
After they hooked in the Bahamian people, they say, well, we didn't really say that. They, you know, the Minister of Finance said that we he could not find $40 million in the Treasury.
Mm.
And he said that we used it for our cronies.
Mm-hmm.
And the media kept on him. Say, have you found it? Where is it? Have you found it? And he got mad. He said, what am I, speaking Greek?
I remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He said, I told you that. It's there.
Yes.
It's there.
Yes.
So now it's there.
I could not really give an account.
No. And then they made promises that they have not kept. There's supposed to be a recall on parliamentarians. That ain't happened because that's their fellas could be recalled if it get to that.
Mm-hmm.
The two terms for the prime minister, I ain't see that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on and on. They made a bunch of promises.
Yes.
They told a lot of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And they made scurrilous allegations against people.
Okay.
Christie, me, others. And you know, there was one particular individual who dominated this exercise.
Mm-hmm.
He made horrible allegations.
Yes.
And guess what? He got handsomely rewarded in government.
Mm-hmm.
Car, huge contract, contractual employment. All kinds of benefits. Rewarded.
The irony of what it is that you're saying, too, though, is that the electorate, some of which tend to say the same thing about the PLP.
No, I don't remember us ever running a campaign like that. Never. Calling people with Ingram. When we took over last time with Ingram, you know what we went on? The roadworks.
Mm-hmm.
And we even had the road them dig up.
Yes.
And we talked about how he disadvantaged small
song
businesses.
And everything.
I don't remember anyone saying Ingram is a this or that. Now, maybe one, two people did
there
that.
There was derogatory.
Yeah, you always will find derogatory in the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a fringe with the Free National Movement. This was their campaign.
Outright lies, you're saying.
Yes, and look who got rewarded with a plum position in government.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
You connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and really that individual, I ain't calling his name, but, you know, he didn't get anything initially.
You know?
He didn't get anything initially, and he went berserk on this administration. Mm-hmm. They guess they wanted to just shut him up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
But now he's sitting handsomely.
The problem that they'll be doing that
is
that you've set a precedent now, because I see a lot of it going now on both sides now, and I don't particularly like it. But this administration, I think they've done it. I have never seen an election run in which the way in which they did this.
Mm-hmm.
And the promises they made, and they have hardly kept any of them. And it was almost as if they were engaged in a con to get the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
And they played on emotions. They played on the emotions. They say, we teeth in, we dis and we that. And the Bahamian people.
They played on the emotions effectively.
Yes, very effectively.
Very effectively. And with that said, do you believe that we're ready for 2022? When I say we, I'm talking about as a nation.
My concern, though,
is
you and I, we spoke about this.
Mm-hmm.
That was last week we spoke about this.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of the fixed register.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned about that. I don't trust this administration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You know, and I can say this on your show, and you forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
They have been less than forthright with the Bahamian people over and over and over and over. I have never seen a government in the history of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that has told so many things that were not true.
What exactly are your concerns? Is your concern about the fixed register specifically?
Well, first of all, I saw something interviewed. They raised people have died. So what's going to happen with them?
Mm-hmm.
And then people have moved. Mm-hmm. So you can tell me now, someone who does not live in an area is and cannot be scrutinized by the normal process when you go canvassing can just parachute an election day and vote, and you've not been you haven't been able to cross reference and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have moved in different areas. You know, a lot of Abaco has been devastated. I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't trust this administration. I'm sorry. I got to be plain with you. I do not trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about that process.
Well, considering the COVID-19 environment in which we exist right now, what do you suggest Glenys Anno-Martin should be the way of going about executing and carrying out the 2022 elections in a fair manner?
Well, I mean, I think that if you're going to, people are going to register, they have to put, they said it's COVID-19. They're trying to do COVID-19. I don't buy that. I really don't. I angle that.
You believe that's being used as a cover?
Yes, because they had no problem with COVID-19 when they tell you better go pay your light bill, you can get disconnected. They had no COVID-19 problems when they told you road traffic is open and you better go and license your car, and which was a disaster. We saw that. So they didn't have a problem with those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe it. But I think that what they can do is seek to manage the registration process. I don't know how you could do it alphabetically, or you do it in constituencies.
Mm-hmm.
There may be ways to manage the process, but you cannot tell me I must throw away the baby, the bathwater, because you worried about COVID. And I don't believe they're worried about COVID in that, on that, for that.
Do you think they're worried about losing?
I think they are more concerned about winning I could say by hook or by crook. Because, you know, okay.
Answered my question. You answered my question. Two questions. I'm going to wrap this up. And let's just make this very brief. I really want to hear your heart and your mind as the MP for Anglesen, as a PLP, as it relates to the natural resources of the Bahamas, you know, especially with the Z generation, with the millennials, you know, there's lots of talk and lots of concern about our birthright being sold, our birthright being sold due to corruption, due to greed. And what's your mind on it? How can and will the Bahamian people actually benefit from the massive natural resources that we have as a nation? And they're wondering, why are we even experiencing poverty with what it is that we have as a people?
Okay, I'm going to answer it a little differently. This is how I see our natural resources. Our primary natural resource is our people.
Good.
Okay?
Good.
And you look at the education, the state of education in this country. Look at the state of healthcare. We're one of the sickest nations in the world. We have not maximized that natural resource because that natural resource is so incredible. It will blow the mind of the world. It has done so over and over. We are in an overabundance of that natural resource.
Yes.
And it is being underdeveloped. And then you look at our sea. We talk about the natural resources. And I know they talk about the aragonite and all that, but who's talking about the sea, the ocean?
Yes.
100,000 square miles of water. You have in there, you have energy, which includes hydro energy. You have, and of course, there's oil and all that, and that's controversial. We got to talk about that. And
yes.
You have to be sure that's what we want. You have fisheries. You have shipping. You have cruising. You have minerals. That are used in cosmetics and science and technology.
Of course, the salt ponds.
The salt ponds, and on and on and on. And then, of course, you have the aragonite, the rock in Mayaguan and all those places.
Yes,
and, you know, and
the
and,
sun.
And the sun.
Solar.
And the sun.
Yes.
And the sun. Because a lot of the natural resource has been factored on the aragonite, which is not a problem. But we have to understand that, like you say, the sun too. We get the sun. And so, you know, we have to, I think there has to be a comprehensive overview of what our resources are and how are we going to develop it.
Will the PLP do that?
If I'm there, we have to do it. We have to. We have to. I'm not the leader.
And will the people benefit?
Well, if you start with developing your human capital, people benefit.
Mm-hmm.
If you start with diversification of your economy, the people benefit. I mean, this one-dimensional approach, we're paying a high price for it now. Everything's shut down, you know? So the people must benefit because that is the whole purpose of it. But, you know, you asked if a PLP government will do it. I expect that they must. Like you said, young people, right? They want specifics. They want to see an action plan.
Yes, of course.
Yes, and I
agree. Rightly so.
Yes, and I agree with them.
Yes.
And the action plan is there for them, for the taking. It's just a matter of a very focused undertaking in national development.
Okay.
And we've sort of not been singularly focused in that global way in developing our natural resources and our economy and that type of thing. It can happen. I believe it can happen. I'm not, I don't want to come off as a gloomy individual because the reason I'm in politics is because I believe.
I
believe.
You have faith.
I'm just tired of the same old, same old.
Yes.
And there has to be a change.
And so is the Bahamian
electorate. We have to move beyond this.
Very much so. And the very, very last question, you can answer this very briefly, please. And that is, do you have any concerns with the third party, so to speak, the fringe parties, the Fender parties, the DNAs? You have your BDM, you have Cassius Stewart, who's back. There's talk of possible, you know, alliance between, you know, all of these brains and the minds of persons with the innovative ideas. Is the PLP concerned about this?
Yeah. I'll speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a concern when people take a view that what I am representing is something that is not a draw and that should be a break off into something different or independent, particularly when you have multiplicities of this. And I think that when you have, when I run, I always have at least five or six opponents every single time for four elections. They in marginal elections, they have an impact. We saw that with the DNA in
2012.
Was it 12? 2012.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that.
And it was significant.
Yeah. So it cannot. You know, they didn't win any seats, but
they impacted the outcome.
Greatly. The outcome. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that's the point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought the point is some of them won't be government. I don't know.
Well, and that too.
Yeah.
And that too.
People want freedom of expression, and some people want to lead organizations, and then, you know, some of these organizations got four people in them, but, you know, that's okay. You got leaders, and they express their views.
Basically, are you seeing them as a threat?
Hmm?
Basically, are you seeing them as a threat?
No, I mean, as a threat, the Progressive Liberal Party, in its finest form, it can't be threatened by anybody.
The PLP is in its finest form at this time?
In its finest form, cannot be threatened.
Okay.
Cannot be threatened, in its finest form.
Okay.
Now, whether we are now in our finest form, it is a work in progress.
Okay.
But the PLP, in its finest form,
mm-hmm.
cannot, there's no threat. Because
mm-hmm.
The ideology of the PLP is commensurate.
Mm-hmm.
with the way in which I believe the Bahamian people see their reality. If we execute in a way that is consistent with those tenets of the ideology,
mm-hmm.
because it's basic things. It's about the natural
wow.
resource. It's about the education. It's about mm-hmm. the healthcare. It's about the human development. It's about culture. It's about your economy.
Yes.
It's about empowerment. It's
mm-hmm.
about eradicating poverty.
Yes.
All of these things in our finest form, I would never worry about. I don't worry about the opposition. And I personally don't worry about the opposition. Anyhow, I try to do my best and to stay focused on what I do. So, you know, I think that what the final outcome will be, we'll have to see with these organizations. I am very concerned that we end up with 5 more years of this administration
mm-hmm.
because they have been a disaster. They have done
wow.
they've done tremendous harm to this country. They have mm-hmm. not brought one progressive policy. They've mishandled so many things. They've borrowed it out of their ears, eyes, nose, and mouth long before the hurricane and long before
COVID-19.
And so, you know, they, and if you ask them what they are there for,
mm-hmm.
I wait until I'd like to know what the government is there. I'd like the Prime Minister to tell me why he wants 5 more years. What is it that he want to do?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm serious.
That's a very, very interesting point upon which to end Influencers Today. Thank you so very much.
I hope it wasn't too controversial. Forgive
you brought
me.
You brought it just the way I expected it from the firebrand. Of course, you're listening to the voice of the Member of Parliament for Eggleston, Glanis Hannah Martin. Thank you so very much for being here with me today.
Thank you.
Here on Influencers. Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
7Cs. Start your day the right way. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. ACG Wholesale, with quality service and great prices. The Beauty Barn, care and beauty supplies, delivering beauty products straight to your door. WhatsApp 242-812-8500. Real Time Sound Studios and Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out.